Interview and job search strategies at work. Today I'd like to talk to you about a skill set that is necessary. It has a necessary function in any job, basically. And you've seen it all the time. You maybe just don't recognize it. And it's satellite. It's microwave. They have a valid, they're looking for folks all the time that know that technology, or they can train to understand that to get a job. So you've seen it, you've driven by, you're in a car, you're in a bus, you're on a bike, whatever. You drive by houses and you see there's a dish outside somebody's house. And you're like, okay, it says iDirect, or DirecTV, not iDirect, DirecTV. Or it says HughesNet in some cases. That's either going to be satellite internet, or it's going to be like television, like satellite TV, basically cable TV. And so the principles are kind of similar a little bit. And it works this way. From the antenna is at your house or at the house. It's a small dish. It's like 3 foot or whatever. It almost looks like a bird bath, right? If you take a bird bath and point it somewhere, that's kind of what it looks like. And then from that, there's like an IF cable. And then from the IF cable goes into the house and then plugs into what could also be a coax cable as well. But it plugs into the modem. The modem, then from the modem, there's like a LAN port. And that LAN port plugs into your router. From the router, of course, it comes into your computer or your devices, etc. And so the other way, let's talk about the other way, how it works. From the antenna in the at the house, it goes to the sky. So it shoots the signal to the sky, and then in the sky, I don't know, 23,000 miles, 63,000 like that, miles away in space, there's a satellite. You probably have seen satellites on TV, and it's a transmit receiver. It's really like almost like a relay, basically. You know, it takes one signal in and transfers it down to the Earth somewhere else. So it might have two receiver or a transmitter receiver and then another transmitter receiver. So from your antenna goes to space to the satellite. From the satellite, it goes down to, say, an ISP or a place that has like these giant antennas. You probably have seen them before. They're like these 60-foot dishes. You've probably seen them on TV, or you've probably seen them somewhere that you have been. But it receives all those signals. So the reason it's so large is that it has to be able to receive multiple carriers. Multiple carriers. So a carrier is like a signal carrier, basically. So it has to receive all that signal. It's for multiple locations, by the way. So it's not only your neighbor, your friend, in your community. They have dishes. It's everybody else has a satellite dish, that or antenna rather, that points to that satellite and then down to the other location. So when you get internet, you're actually getting it from, so that big dish on the other side, that's hooked into the internet. That's the one that the internet comes from there. That's how it works. So it's just a relay of information through the satellite. So, you know, there's other way. Of course, I'm going to talk about the other way is microwave. That's another way to transmit information from long distances. It's cheaper than fiber, by the way. It's cheaper than, and you couldn't transfer, you couldn't transfer, 10 miles of information via a Cat 5 or Cat 6, Cat 7, I think they are now, because you'd have to have a repeater for that box. Plus, if somebody cuts a cable, you know, your whole internet's down. This is not cost effective. Neither is fiber, right? Because you might be going across the highway. So let's say in somebody's farmer's field, they have microwave dish. So if you've probably seen it on the highway, you drive down the highway and you'll see these big mobile towers, right? So on the mobile tower, they'll have like a dish, small dish. Again, bird bath, you know, turned sideways. And that is pointing to another location somewhere else, maybe 5-10 miles away, whatever. And, you know, that's how the other side gets information or internet. You've probably seen them on train tracks as well. They don't look like parabolic antennas or sometimes bird dishes. They might look like a you ever seen the windsock on an airfield? They kind of look like that, except they're plastic. And so they're just basically, it's just the train's sending a signal out on the train, or even the train passes somewhere like a certain checkpoint basically on a track, and there's a signal. Okay, hey, train's here, sends it down the line to the other antenna and says, okay, oh, okay, good. It does a function, whether that's put down the railroad, warning lights when hey, the train's coming, they put down those barrier things as the train's going through. Could be that, could be information, could be maybe, a distance, like, okay, train's reached this point. Okay. Feeds back to wherever, whatever the central command is. I want to say it's in Nebraska or Wyoming. I think it's Nebraska, actually. I forget the city in Nebraska, but a lot of the central command places are there for trains. So that's microwave basically. So I'll just tell you something about the microwave dishes. The bigger the microwave dish, the lower the frequency. So it's a KU band or a C band frequency, shorter the distance. And so it's like 10 miles or whatever. The longer the distance. So the bigger the dish, the lower the frequency, the longer the signal, the longer the distance, right? So if you can imagine, you've been somewhere and somebody's singing, right? And it's like, oh, like that. That's pretty much an example of it. Oh, so it's long distance. And then the smaller dishes have a higher frequency and they have a shorter distance. So me, you know, it's like that kind of thing. That's the best analogy I can use for that. And so just, you know, if you understand how that works, how that comes about, you're going to have a very good, you're going to be able to talk it through. You're not going to know everything because like the little tidbits of information you may not know, but you're going to have an understanding of it, how it works relative to whatever. For instance, like let's say you're on the phone with somebody and you're in a call center. If you understand how that works, you know, you're doing support for what, Linkway? DirecTV. You're going to understand, oh, okay, because you're going to have that visual representation of, oh, okay, I see, because you're going to know the problem. Okay, well, okay, so it's the, maybe they move, you're going to ask questions like, well, maybe they moved the, you know, maybe they were mowing, right? And the mower hit that DirecTV pole, which connect to the dish, and then move the dish. Oh, okay. That's the problem. You know, you never know, but it just helps you in troubleshooting. Or maybe there's dust. I don't know, something impairing or in the way of that dish, because it has to have line of sight, right? So on the dish itself, they have a feed horn. They call them feed horns, or it's a low noise block, LNB. Basically, it's like this. The satellite internet or the information or the frequency comes down from the antenna, or I'm sorry, the satellite, and it goes into this dish. And that, you know, all that information comes in, and what happens is the LNA, low noise amplifier, basically imagine you're getting signal from a satellite and it's all this information. And what the low noise amplifier does is say, okay, I see there's a signal there. I'm going to amplify that. It's almost like, you know, when you zoom in somewhere, it's zooming into that signal, low noise amplifier, basically. it's going to just amplify that noise, which is a carrier signal, basically, you know, and it's going to, that's how it works. And so let me tell you a little bit about the frequencies, right? So you have your VHF or VLF rather. The VLF is for maritime signal. So like you might have a buoy somewhere, or a lighthouse could have that. You have your HF, or I'm sorry, your MF, which is your AM maritime radio, and then your HF, which is shortwave radio. So that, I think that's like, ham radio, something like that. And then you have your VHF, which are TV, FM radio, right? And then you have a UHF, which are the cell phone and the GPS. And so the range for that, or the frequency basically, right, is it's in gigahertz. So VHF is what, about, I'd say 20 gigahertz, right? That's it's K band, 20 gigahertz to say 26 gigahertz. That's for VHF. That's a K band. And then your UHF, your TV, your cell phone towers, right? That's a KA band. So that's 26 gigahertz to say 30 gigahertz, something like that. Okay, so now we get into the satellite and the microwave. This is KA band antenna. KA band, right? Satellite frequency. So KA band is, you know what? I was wrong, actually. I'm wrong on that. I apologize. It's not actually. So let me just back up a little bit. VHF is 30 megahertz. Sorry. I apologize. 30 megahertz to 300 megahertz. And then UHF or cell phones are 300 megahertz to 3 gigahertz. Excuse me. Right. And then satellite communications are 3 gigahertz to say 30 gigahertz. So that's your microwave, that's your satellite communications. And then you have those giant things, those ones that go into outer space. They're 40. Well, they're more than 40 gigahertz, or more than 40 gigahertz, basically. And those are just probably the giant ones, the 100-foot, 60-foot antenna. So the, KU band is used for satellite communications, and KU band downlink is used from 10.7 gigahertz, 12.75 gigahertz for direct broadcast satellite services. So the KA band is also for satellites. Uplink is either 27.5 gigahertz and 31.0 gigahertz bands, and high resolution close range targeting. Oh, radars. Okay. So that's interesting. I didn't know that one. So they use it for something else as well. Odd. The C band, they have the C band, they have the KU band, and the KA band. Those are for satellite communications. The C band, it says, used for full-time satellite TV and raw satellite feeds, commonly used in the areas that are subject to tropical rainfall, since this C band is less susceptible to rain fade than KU band. Rain fade is like, it's like, imagine like a rope, and the rope, it's a long rope, right? And you got rain that's dropping on it, right? And the heavier the rain, that rope is going to shake a little bit. And that's what rain fade is, essentially. It's kind of a weird analogy, but you're just, anytime you put any rain or any snow, heavy snow or fog in between a satellite and the, or a microwave an antenna and a satellite, or a microwave and another microwave dish, basically. Those are little like fog is rain, like moisture. Anytime you put anything, it basically what happens is it refracts off of that light. So rain is light. So it's just this, it's a mirror basically, right? So water, it'll refract off of it. So when you have rain fade, it'll just like refract off that rain. And then it'll degrade your signal a little bit. I mean, if you have a long range signal, it's really going to degrade that a lot. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what goes into some of these things. So you have frequency division multi-access, and you have TDMA. So there's FDMA and TDMA. FDMA is frequency division multi-access, or just multiplexing, I think. And then you have TDMA, which is time division multiplexing, I think it is. Anyway, so FDMA is like a frequency. So, you know, you might have, say, in a couple different signals that come in. And one, let's say it's from, say, 4.5 gigahertz, okay, to 5 gigahertz. So that's your range that's coming in to your antenna. That's on the internet side. So you have the spoke, which is your dish at your house, right? And then you have a hub. So it's a hub and spoke. That's the whole reason that's what that is. So this at the hub level, that's where the internet comes in, or that's where the internet is initiated from. At the hub level, that's a big giant dish. That antenna is going to receive a bunch of signal, right, at the same time. And it has to cut it up and say, okay, I want all these signals in, but I want to receive them in order, basically frequency. So it's capable of receiving, say, 4 to 5 gigahertz. So it'll just like say, okay, I want to receive this on this band, or on this device. On this device. So for instance, your dish in your house is going to send up, say, 4.1 gigahertz. Somebody, the next door neighbor is 4.2 gigahertz, so on and so forth. So that's frequency division multiplexing. The other one is TDMA. So that's time division multi-access. It's the same frequency. It's like, I'm using 4.1 gigahertz. My neighbor's using 4.1 gigahertz, right? But we're not sending our signal at the same time. Maybe there's a millisecond or a second delay, something like that, that I'm sending my signal from his or hers, my neighbor, basically. That's all that is. It's just a time. You're in line and you're waiting to send your signal, basically. And that works in the background, in the software, and the device itself. So that's the how it works, basically. So that's how it works, essentially. So that's kind of basically it. You have other things such as you have different standards. Like you have a T1, you have a T3. That's more for, say, communication. So you might have some microwave dishes have a capability of like an optical carrier capability. So, you know, let me just go over the T1 and all that first, right? So T1 is T1 is described as a it's when you say T1, you're talking about, okay, your speed, right? Your speed of your internet, your traffic, whatever. This is kind of related to satellite. So I'll just tell you what it is, right? So the T1 is 1.44 megabits per second, right? The T2 is 6.31 megabits per second. The T3, you probably heard somebody say, oh, it's a T3 line. That's 44 megabits a second. So just to put that in perspective, now all of these are back and forth. was it asynchronous? Yeah. Synchronous, asynchronous. Yeah. So it's back and forth, meaning I'm sending 1.544 megabits per second. I'm receiving back. So how is that different than what maybe what you have now? You have, let's say you have a cable modem, and you get from your ISP, you're getting, I don't know, 50 meg a second, right? So you go to speedtest.net and you test the speed, and you'll say, okay, I'm downloading 50 meg a second, right? But in my upload, it's 5 meg a second. Like, oh, well, what's the difference? Why is the difference? That's just how the that's how they operate. That's how the ISP operates. Whereas a T1 line, you're dedicated 1 point, you know, you're going to get 1.5 up and 1.5 down. It's like really nice. Usually that's for like people that do like companies that host websites will have that. They're sending information and receiving information. So 6.3 megabits, that's pretty fast, right? And then 44 megasecond, good night. That's huge. That's giant, right? So that's a T1. And then you have optical carriers. So an optical carrier is the speed in which traffic or data basically is transferred. And some of your dishes, a lot of your dishes are OC3 antennas. So they're capable of handling 155 meg a second both way. And then you have an OC9. I haven't really seen, I say the most I've seen, I think, for me is an OC3 satellite or and microwave, basically. I do know they have, like for instance, the there's a, OC1. OC192. I've seen one OC192 before. I've worked on one of those. It's a Scream ATM device. OC48. I've worked on one of those. They have like an OC768. I think Alcatel makes that, and that gets into like the gigabytes per second or something like that, or a lot. And that's typically used for transatlantic signal from New York to Ireland, right? Ireland. Or Spain, or yeah, they typically use for that. That's called what they call that is long haul communications or long haul traffic. That's just this huge amount of that huge pipe. So let me just go over them, right? So an OC1 is 51 megasecond. That's back and forth. That's huge. An OC3 is 155 megasecond. That's dedicated back and forth. An OC9 is 466 megasecond. An OC12, 622 megasecond. Wow. OC18 is 933 megasecond. An OC24 is 1,244 megasecond. Wow. An OC192 is 9,953 megasecond. An OC, an OC48 is 2,488 megasecond. Of course, let me Google really quick. OC768 speed. Here we go. Okay. OC768. Okay. Just want to know what it is. Wow. That's really, that's amazing. So it says it's, let's see. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. We just Google Wikipedia here. Okay. Okay. Here we go. So an OC768 is 39,000 meg per second. Wow. So AT&T has one, obviously. An OC, wow, 1920. I've never seen that before. That's 99,000 megabits per second. Wow. gosh. And then an OC's 3840. That's 200 gigabits per second. Oh my gosh. That's crazy traffic, dude. That's just crazy. Wow, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, and let's see. OC, let's just curious, right? OC 768 cost. I'm just curious about that. Let's see. Oh, gosh. OC 768. How much does OC 768 cost? Okay. 150. Okay, here we go. OC 48 costs $150,000 a month. $2.4 million? Wow. Whoa, that's amazing. That's, you know, who has that? I don't know. Probably Yahoo or Facebook or one of those folks probably have that stuff. That's cool. That's awesome. I love that. That's nice. Yeah. But so all those so Alcatel makes a lot of that stuff. I do know that. Alcatel makes that. Juniper makes that. That's why so Cisco is known for like in a building from state to state, right? Whereas Juniper is like wherever the internet starts to the other internet. So like from like the big optical carriers like these, Juniper has that. So that's just a vendor that makes that. And then Cisco makes the smaller range ones, the smaller ones from like an ISP to your house, right? They'll make that stuff or ISP to ISP. But the big ones, wow, that's Juniper. So I hope this has been informative for you. And I'd like to thank you for viewing this podcast. Have a great day.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.